Hello everybody and welcome back to Steam and Steel, a podcast all about heritage railways. In this episode, we have Joey Wellstead, a paid member of staff at the Llangollen Railway, who also has a very impressive garden railway. So let's dive right into the episode and see what he has to say. Hope you enjoy.
Hello Joey, how are you? All right?
I'm all right, thank you. Matthew, yourself?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. It's absolutely great to have you here.
Nice pleasure.
Right, so tell us everybody a bit about yourself.
All right, my name's Joey. I've recently reached 3 decades of life. Go me. Yeah. I've been a volunteer at Llangollen now since 2013. And I've been working for Flan as a full-time member of staff since June 2018. So I'm in both camps. I'm in the paid staff and volunteers staff. So
what's your role as a volunteer then?
As a volunteer, I am a fireman on the steam roster, and I'm also a second man on the diesel roster, as well as a shunter driver for the diesel shunters we have in the yard.
Oh, we'll talk about a bit of that later. And so what do you do as paid staff then?
Paid staff, I work full-time in the workshops, basically doing the maintenance of the steam load.
Oh, that's a fascinating job. Fair play. Fair play.
It is. It's very...
So with you being maintenance then, what do you like working on?
So, when I first started here, it was purely just doing the dirty jobs to base. So the guys with the proper skill jobs, because I don't actually come from a engineering background myself. I come from a photography background.
Oh, really?
So. Yes, I did. I did photography at university.
That's fascinating. And I never knew that.
I've gone from doing photography to being now a trainee fitter on steam locos, which is has been quite a journey. It's its own way, to be honest. Working on the locos, it basically starts out with me being test guinea pig, as it were. Right? So cleaning out some locos that basically we need to get to test done on ASAP.
Yeah.
And basically we haven't had volunteers available at the time to get it all cleaned out for us. So I clean out the locos, get them lit up, get them up to pressure for the tests that we need to do, that kind of thing. Alongside that, doing emergency repairs, so spring changes, seeing to pipe work, dismantling, get it to the workbench so someone with skills that can fix it can get it all done. Now I put it back on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I take them off, put it back on. It's actually mostly my job. that was what it was at the start. It was like that for the first couple of years I was doing that until the first lockdown happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after lockdown, basically a lot of our workshop staff got made redundant, unfortunately.
Oh, it's a shame.
It is a shame. It's no secret that Flan's not had the best press in the past few years, and these redundancies were sort of like as a result of that, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
I've sort of benefited from it because it now means that I'm now having to sort of step up and start learning a lot more about these locos than I was previously allowed to.
Okay, so there is every cloud and all that. You know, every cloud has a silver lining.
So I'm starting to be taught things like the weighing of locos. I'm starting to get involved with that. Recently, we've been doing breaking equipment on some couple of the locos. You know, looking at the vac cylinders, taking them apart, seeing how they work.
Wow.
How to test them, that kind of thing. Stuff that's, you know, it's essential for the safe running of the locos.
Yeah.
It's back from that aspect, it has been pretty interesting.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And hopefully, after this lockdown, which hopefully won't be too long now.
And probably not. Well, hopefully not. Fingers crossed. Yeah. At the time of. I was going to say, at the time of recording this, we've got another month-ish, month and a half-ish.
Yeah, so hopefully it won't be too much longer now. Then I can go back to work and hopefully start learning some more things.
Yeah.
And then I did have a brief discussion with our with one of the members of the board. He'll be trying to look at getting me onto a proper apprenticeship scheme so I can actually learn the skills I need to sort of be able to go and tackle jobs properly, as it were.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Without having to take on, having to get somebody else to sort of do something for me, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm looking forward to going back. It's been a little bit, the past few months have been a bit, you know.
Yes.
You want to be there, but you, you're sort of having to sort of sit back and just let time pass, as it were.
Yeah, it's all been a case of building models, which we'll get onto later, won't we? I'm sure we'll get onto that in a bit.
Absolutely.
And reading magazines and watching telly.
Indeed.
Yeah. So that's your work side of things. So obviously, you're a fireman as well. Mm-hmm. My last guest, I believe you started with, actually, which is Tom Peacock.
Yes. I should point out that time of recording this, I've not yet heard what Tom said, so I've got no idea whether I'm going to contradict anything he said.
When I spoke to Tom, you know, on the last, obviously last episode of record, I've not released it yet as time of recording. He was telling me that you two joined at exactly the same time.
Yes, we did. I officially did my induction in August 2013, and I was asked to wait until I got a message from our instructor, the cleaners instructor, which at the time was Rolly Smallwood. So waiting for the emails from him, which eventually came, I think about he contacted me about a week later, and basically we had to wait in time until the next bunch of new starters were available at a convenient time so we could actually all dive in and do our first MIC, as it were. So, yeah, that happened at the end of October.
Yeah.
And I remember because it was a Tom's weekend. I can't remember. It might have even been September. It was one of those. It was either September or October. But
yeah.
I remember turning up at would have been half eight in the morning at Flan Station, because we were told to wait outside the cafe there, and Tom was already there sitting on one of the tables. And so basically I joined him and we started chatting. And basically we've been pretty much good friends ever since, to be honest.
That's what I love about the volunteering is it's just that you meet so many people from all sorts of backgrounds, but with the same goal. You just want to keep the heritage running.
Well, that's it, yeah. And to be fair, it's been one of my friendship with Tom has been one of the better friendships I've had in a long time. So, you know.
That's always good to know. Why did you choose Llangollen to volunteer at?
Simple answer. It was the easiest to commute to at the time.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Because I live in Ellesmere Port, and it was quite a pain to go to some of the other railways at that time. I mean, personally, I'm actually more of a narrow gauge nut than I am a standard gauge, but it was one of those things where I wanted to get into railway preservation, and I can't, if I wanted to do it, I basically had to do the one that was easiest to commute to, because I didn't drive at the time, and admittedly still don't. but so at the end it was Llangollen, because I managed to work out I could commute to from Elsmereport to Llangollen in roughly hour and a half, which was acceptable for me.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I've been commuting from quite a bit from university and home, which was university was in Wolverhampton, so.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so that's quite a distance. So yeah, so basically the reason for Llangollen was because it was the easier commute. It didn't mean I didn't actually go and scout it out beforehand, shall we say. I did go and have a look at it beforehand. And admittedly, on the day I did that scouting, I didn't actually ride on the steam behind the steam engine at all. It was all DMU.
Really? See, I don't mind the DMUs. I know some people don't like them. I actually don't mind them because they give you such a different perspective of the line when you go on them.
Mm. Yeah, they do. And to be fair, the DMUs we have at Flan are pretty good nick, as it were. Yes. Especially the 108 Wickham. Is it the 108 or 109? I can't remember off the top of my head. It's one of those. But the Wickham unit, which is just... It's just a nice place to sit, to be honest. It's a nice place to sit and watch the scenery go by. And I think that was might have been the one that was in service that day, actually. Sat in first class and everything. I remember the other engine that was running was 3802, which I get involved with quite a bit later on down the line.
3802 is actually my cover photo on my Facebook page.
Oh, okay. That's good. That was the first engine I saw running there on that scouting day.
Yeah. And
basically, I just liked the feel of the place. You know, the staff are friendly. They talk to you. They weren't too snobbish, if you know what I mean. I've been to some places where you really get that snobbish vibe, as it were, and it just puts me off, to be honest. It's just one of those things. I like the place. So in the end I said this will do me, I'll sign up here.
And good stuff. Never look back
to be honest. Yeah,
so I want to backtrack a little bit. Obviously you're a fireman, so's Tom and so's Rich. Obviously, they've gone through what they get through into a day, which I'm assuming is going to be similar to yours, really. So you turn up, you prep your fire, you get everything ready, then you help cleaners.
Yes. I'm quite lucky in the sense I don't have to get up as early as they do, because I have a compartment at the railway in one of the sleeping coaches. So I don't actually have to get up as early as they do. I can just sort of wake up, fall out of the carriage and sign on.
Lucky for some.
Indeed, yes.
What they haven't spoken about, which is what I wanted to speak to you about, and you mentioned it before, is the MIC.
Yes.
So would you mind explaining what the MICs are to people?
Mutual improvement classes. Basically, they're to educate new starters in the operation of the railway what their duties are. Amongst other things, as well as safety of the railway as well. The first one was purely an introduction to the railway, the footplate department, and the kind of things that you can be expected, or would be expected of as a cleaner when you say to turn up to do a turn. I think the first day we had was I think I remember just mostly Rolly Smallwood talking old stories, to be honest, but he was a good lad. He talked in the morning, introduced ourselves, because it wasn't just me and Tom. There were two other guys who basically they got a certain way, but I'm no longer with the railway, as it were. So me and Tom were the only one of that class that's still around. Yeah, we also had Roly Smallwood and another experienced clean at the time, who was a Maverick, who is no longer with the railway, but still keeping contact every now and again to see how he's doing and keeping our ways on Facebook and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was, to be fair, Maverick was one of the guys that really welcomed, made you feel welcome at the rally. So
yeah,
it's sort of cemented that I was going to be staying for the long term with his how he treated me and that kind of thing. So the first MIC I had was basically having a chat, introduce ourselves, getting introduced to the footplate department, what was going to be involved in a point of training and that kind of thing. And then the afternoon was quite simple. We were basically just going around the yard, pointing out hazards, trying out hand signals, etc., and also just practicing coupling.
Yeah.
Just seeing how you got a feel of how heavy those shackles are, because you don't realize it when you first start. They are heavy bits of them.
They are very heavy.
I mean, I've been doing it long enough now, but it's literally just swing, bang, on. It's easy. But when you first start, yeah, they are annoying as hell.
Let alone the VAC bags.
Oh, no. Well, yes, it depends if you get a new one or an old one. If it's a bit older, you're not too bad. It's easier to twist, but a new one, yeah, trust me, I've had to replace them on the connections between Loco and Tender on 3002, and yeah, that was a battle and a half trying to get them lined up.
Wow.
Yeah, on a brand new, especially a brand new one. But yeah, so that was pretty much our first day. The second MIC we had was a bit unorthodox. It didn't follow the same pattern as what you would go through now, Matt. Essentially, it became a cleaning day, essentially, of Black 544806, which was there at the time. Which was a long-term resident of the railway, but left pretty much a month later, unfortunately. Which is an engine.
That's a shame.
Would have liked to have had a go on, because everybody raved about it, but never got the chance.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it's one of those. There's a story about that a bit later, which I'll tell you. So that turned into a bit of a clean day, because it was Roly Smallwood's last day on the railway as a volunteer. He was retiring at the end of the day, so he was being treated to a footplate ride that day. And our cleanest mentor at the time was Matt Grindley. He was having to play the part of an elf, because it was the Santa trains at that time as well. So in the end, responsibility for us fell to one thing called Matt Davis. And he basically took charge for the day, and he ran it the way he felt was best, which was actually, I have to admit, was one of the best MICs I've ever had, because that basically involved taking the Black 5 out of the shed, onto the pit, and basically going through everything. So smoke box, clean that out, fire box, clean that out, ash pan, clean that out, and then go over it with the rags, basically. So you've basically got a chance to do sort of everything that you kind of expected to do. So shunting, you got a first introduction to the OH shunter.
Great bits of kit.
Yeah. Trying out your hand signals, and then obviously with the doing the clean out the loco, you were shown, and it sounds like simple stuff, but you were shown how to open the door, how to open the smoke box door up, what you need to check for, shovel out all the ash, check there's no signs of leakage on you anywhere, and that kind of thing. Set in the firebox. We all basically, a couple of us got a go, just basically going inside the firebox, because sometimes in some situations there'll be a situation where you'll need, where you, you know, bars have lifted and that kind of thing, and you've got to put them back in place. And so basically we would practice how to climb in and out of the firebox safely and that kind of thing. There's a couple who didn't do it because it is quite claustrophobic trying to get them in and out of those things, but yeah, you know, it's my daily job. I'm used to it by now.
Yes,
indeed. And obviously the ash pan, which is it's one of those where you just accept it for what it is. It's not a nice environment. You just accept it for what it is. And then spend the afternoon cleaning it up with the rags, make it nice and shiny, and then got it back in the shed. And so that MIC, where you got to put some of the things in practice, you got a chance to do cleaning, chance to clean out the loco, was quite, it put us in, it made us feel more prepared for what was to come, shall we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the second MIC. And I think the first event I attended would have been 2013 Winter Warmer. Because by that time, the volunteers had worked out that I had to commute via public transport to get the plan. And so obviously they worked out that I wasn't necessarily going to be able to get there in time for the start of the turn. So they very kindly said, look, we have got a space on the one coach that you can sleep in if you want to. It's not the Ritz, but it'll do. I said, yeah, that's fine, as long as it gets me there in time for the start of the shift, I'm quite happy. So that was my introduction to the coach of death.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, as I mentioned before, spoke to Tom last episode, and he was telling us about the coach of death.
Okay. So yeah, it was dire, to be honest. But it was a roof over our heads on a rainy day, even if the rain did manage to find its way in on a couple of occasions. But it was one of those. It made do, so I could actually commute to the railway the day before, and I could sleep there and wake up and be there in time for the start of the shift, as it were. Ironically, I woke up late as well.
Oh no!
That was mainly because I had been invited out the night before by the volunteers just to, you know, get introduced to the social side of the railway, which was quite a nice thing actually, because you could go out to eat with everybody, get introduced to loads of own volunteers that you hadn't seen before, and then go to the pub afterwards and have a couple of drinks, no more than a couple. Do that. But yeah, I missed my alarm, basically, is what happened. So,
oh, dear.
Yeah, I woke up a bit late. But nonetheless, got dressed quick and basically got on with cleaning locos. Tom was already there and he's doing his bit. And then, after about a couple of hours of that, the new cleaners instructor at the time, who was Martin Fuller, I'm sure you met Martin.
Yep.
He was the clean instructor at the time, taken over from Rowley, and he basically managed to organise footplate rides for myself and Tom on the standard tank.
Oh, cracking bit of kit, the standard tank.
It's good when you're on the engine. It's not necessarily as good as when you're fitter.
Oh.
Yeah, I can explain that. It's one of those engines where usually where I've had to do pipe work on it, taking the pipes off, it's one of those annoying engines where in order to get to the pipe you want, you need to take off about five other pipes to get that one out.
It was
designed for ease of operation, not necessarily designed for ease of maintenance. And I'm going to be controversial here and say that a Great Western engine is easier to maintain, in my experience.
I'm a Great Western fan myself. So
yeah, it's, well, Great Western is all I've really been on, apart from the World War II in my time. So, but yeah, the first day was so yeah, the first foot plate ride would have been two round trips on the standard tank. But the annoying thing was, is that not long after got down the platform and onto the standard tank, because it was because me and Tom were going to do one round trip each.
Yeah.
He'd, the lucky beggar, managed to blag his way onto the Black Five.
Oh.
So, we, to be fair, he did come up to me and said, do you want to have us, because of the, how the timetable was, we were going to be in Fan Station at the same time. And whether we want to step over on the second floor. So he had a go on the standard tank on the Black Five, because it was the Black Five's last gala at Van Gogh.
Right.
So we agreed to that. Didn't happen.
Oh,
I'm not forgiving him for it. Because the only Black Five I've been on ever since was 45337, and it's not necessarily a Black Five that does the class justice, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yes.
Disrespect to the owners, they put a load of hours into it, but it wasn't a well loco when I went on it. Shall we say?
Oh dear.
So yeah, yeah. My impressions of Black Fives have forever since been very unfavourable. Shall we say?
Yeah, yeah. That's a shame.
It's your fault, Tom.
That's a shame. Ooh, wait till he hears this.
I remind him all the time. I remind him all the time. So yeah, fourth MIC. Well, the third after that. I basically did about 2 years just doing cleaning turns. Because I did, what was it? Yeah, 2 years of cleaning turns. And then after 2 years, Martin Fuller stepped aside for Charlie Brook, who is the current cleaning instructor.
Yeah.
Is he still a cleaning instructor? I think he is.
I don't know, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, he was last time I spoke to him. You never know what's happened the past few months. I've not really been in contact with many people from the railway for a few months. I've just been sort of enjoying my time to myself. But yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But yeah, then we did MIC3. I'm trying to remember what we did. MIC3. That was probably quite a forgettable one, to be honest, because I can't remember anything I did on that one.
It's the boiler one, isn't it?
Oh, of course.
What I did, it was boilers.
Yes, of course it was. Yeah, I've done, been around a few plenty of boilers now, but, you know, you kind of forget that kind of thing. But, yeah, that is part of your training. So MIC3 was boilers, and then MIC4, which is the one you have before your... Considered for passing out for pass cleaner, which is essentially a cleaner who can do fire turns.
Yeah.
That was basically purely rules of the railway, examples of instances where rules were not followed to the letter, as it were. So Abermule, the Abermule crash, that's brought up quite heavily because obviously we're a single line and we use token system. Do you know much about the Abermule crash?
No, I don't actually.
Cambion Railway, 1920s, I think it was. And
yeah,
essentially the train, local passenger pulled out from Abermule, handed over the staff to one of the boys on the platform. I should point out the time that the rule was that the only people who could operate the signaling equipment was the signalman. Station master could take the token for him. Because he was, and obviously he could look at it and see where it was from, to that cabin. But about Abimule, basically, everyone from the porter to the caffeine aid was basically operating the signal equipment.
Oh, yeah. Oh dear. So
that was the first red flag. Basically, the Noctur Stopper came in. They handed over the token from the previous section. It was collected by one of the porters, who passed over to the station master with his intention of him going to the token machine to get a fresh one out.
Yep.
Station master thought it was the token for the next section.
Oh dear.
Didn't check it, handed back to the crew. The crew didn't check it.
Right.
So they went on their way. It was only after it left the station where the station, I can't remember who it was, where it was one of the Portal Station Master, realised that not long before, the signalman had given permission for a token to be taken out from the section in front.
Right.
And basically what turned out was that coming the other way was the express.
Oh, so yes. Yeah.
So you can see what happened there. Head-on collision.
Yes.
Can't remember how many were killed, but that's the one that stuck out for me from that MIC, that story. Bit of doom and gloom there for you, ladies and gentlemen.
But again, it's all part of the safety of the railway, so it is important.
It is. So, but yes, going back to the MIC, you basically go through the rules, go through examples of where it's gone, where the rules have not been followed, and what has the disasters that have resulted. You then sort of do examples, practice scenario.
Yeah.
Where basically you'll be given a scenario on a piece of paper and you basically explain what you would do in that situation. After that, we basically head up the line and go over a couple of the ground frames we have up the line that we may never use them ourselves, but they do get used. And we may be called to a job where we'd have to go and use that ground frame for whatever reason. So I went up the line, did them, and then go back to Flan, and then basically it was straight into the theory paper.
Okay.
Doing your theory paper for your firing assessment. So that was done. Mm. Yeah. So which I think it was half multiple choice. I think it changes every time you do it, as it were. So when you get reassessed, it comes a written one. I think because of mixtures. I don't know what it'll be when you eventually get to that point, but. Yeah, that MIC, I think, was done in February, March 2017. And then did a few more cleaning turns. And basically waiting for when the fireman's assessor was available to come and pass me out, as it were. Which happened in end of May. Yeah, end of May 2017. So that was
great stuff.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So yeah, so I passed out May 2017. And then basically been on then after that it was like firing and cleaning were sort of the same amount of turns for firing and cleaning I did after that. But then it gradually got themselves doing more and more firing turns until the point where it's like you might as well do your reassessment now and get you put up to fireman. So that happened in June 2019, and that was basically one of the more prouder days of my life, getting past it.
Yes, I can imagine.
Indeed. So I would like to say goodbye to cleaning, but no, you can't do that. You've got to be part of the team and you've got to help.
No, you can't.
Clean the way you can. Yeah.
That's one of those things.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's one thing I wanted to talk to you about, and mm-hmm. because You mentioned earlier that you're a second man on the diesel side of things.
Yes.
Now, I'm also part of the diesel group, but I'm nowhere near to where you are. So take us through the diesel side of things, because it's obviously mainly been steam so far.
Yes.
So it'd be great to hear it from the diesel side.
Well, my journey into the diesel group is probably not the same as, say, a volunteer who's just come in purely to be on diesels, as it were. The advantage I had on my side was that the fact I'd done so much mileage on the steam roster that I didn't have, and I knew all the rules for emergency situations and stuff like that I didn't actually have to do a proper, I didn't have to do an assessment to go on to the diesels, as it were. Yeah, yeah. It was purely a case of, is you're now a fireman, you're interested in diesels, do you want to go on second man? But how I got involved with the diesels themselves, I started helping out the diesel group, would have been the 2014 60s weekend. Yeah, well, yep. I basically came down just to help out with the preparations and stuff. Of course, and I didn't realize at the time that it was actually the diesel group who ran that event at the time. Well, it was two members of the diesel group who ran it, Ian Ross and Tez Pickrell. So that's how I met Tez, and that was sort of my introduction to the volunteers on the diesel group. And the first thing that struck me was that they were a really sound bunch of lads.
Yeah, they are.
So that sort of, it was a nice friendly group to know, as it were. So I started helping them out a bit for like the 60s events. And then it gradually started helping them out on the odd day on the weekends when I was down, when they were working on the diesels, I started to get involved with them. Probably only like little things, because I don't know way around the combustion engines, I'd say. I don't know way around them, to be honest. I know enough so I can start the 08 and start talking, but that's about it.
So
started helping them out. Then basically, I suppose, starting to get a fascination for all the diesels, especially the 37, when we had that there.
Love a 37.
Yeah, it was made a nice noise, I'll give it that. I mean, bodywork-wise, it was a bit suspect. But yeah, it was a bit like a sieve in many, many areas. But yeah, that was the first diesel I, you know, liked. And it was it's an easy one to like, the 37. Just because of the noise it makes. But yeah, after that, starting getting more and more involved with the guys. And then when I started working for the railway, they used to have the working parties on the Tuesday evenings, like from 4:30 onwards, which coincided with when I finished my shift in work. So literally just sign out of work and then go and help out with the other guys for a couple of hours.
Yeah, makes sense.
Just to help, just to make sure I'm doing a bit of volunteering in other areas, because you know, when you're working full time, you don't necessarily want to be there all the time. So sort of having to find other ways of contributing voluntarily in different ways, as it were. So I started getting heavily involved on Tuesday nights after that, which always pretty good blast. Because that always involves shunting, going over the diesels, doing maintenance here and there. Occasionally, usually on the Tuesday night was also when we take them out on a test run up the line. So yeah, if there was a gang of us there, we'd all get on board and go up the line, make sure everything was working all right. So that was where I became more and more involved with the diesel group. And then, can't remember where it was. Oh, it would have been the drought of 2018. Was that?
Oh, yes.
And so basically, I was rostered to do a steam turn on the on the Sunday off, I think it was the Classic Transport weekend. Because of the drought, they had to put the two diesels out instead. So initially I thought I wasn't going to get a turn in. But then the diesel group had sort of had an agreement where, you know, one of the crew from the from that rostered steam loco, if they wanted to, could come and do the second man turn. So basically, I was asked to do it. I wouldn't say at the 11th hour, but I was asked to do the second man's turn there, which was annoying because it was my friend's birthday party the night before back in Ellesmere Port. So,
no.
It was one of those things like, damn, I can't get drunk. And he had loads of beer as well. He had pot on loose and everything. It was torture. But yeah, no, I did it to help the railway out and to help them run. That was my introduction to the class 26. I think it was, that was my third proper turn on the class 26. The actual introduction before that would have been vegetation trains the year before. Because instead of using the 08, which we have done for the previous couple of years, before that we used the class 26. Purely just to get up the line faster. So my introduction to 26 properly would have been during the veg trains, because you know, you'd be asked to help the driver, you know, with the prep and stuff. Then on that occasion, I had my first proper full day as a second man on the 26th during that gala. And we had to play International Rescue at one point because the 37 decided it didn't want to work anymore. It basically, I think what happened was, you know how some these guys can be, they want to basically, it's a 37, it makes a lot of noise, you want to make it make noise.
You want to thrash it.
Exactly, you want to thrash it. And I think they tried that, and basically the 37 went, ha, no, and shut himself down. And they couldn't start it back up again.
This was
pulling out of Glyn Duftree, heading up that small hill up towards the east side at the time as well. So it just reached the section signal and then conked out. And we were stuck at the east side at the time as well. So in the end, we had to go up the line, stop short of the home signal, detach from our train, attach to the 37, shove it all the way back through Glyn Duftree, because it's hydraulic points at Glyn Duftree, so you can only go through the platforms one way. So I have to push it all the way through the station and then bring it back into the other platform. So then we could then go get our train, and we can carry on our way. So,
great.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, then they got it going. They got it going again once they got back onto level ground, as it were. For some reason, just when it did all that opening up and it got on the hill, it just didn't like it for some reason. But needless to say, I think it did one more year with us, and then it got sold off to mainly because the air brakes are basically given up the ghost by that point. Well, the air brakes for the carriage, for the braking system for the train, as it were, not for the loco itself. Held in there, and it was one of those situations where that needed repairing. There was a lot of bodywork that needed doing, and the engine, whilst it sounded good, may not necessarily been that healthy. So. They basically took the decision where the 26 needed work because obviously it had its flashover with the motors at kind of where it happened. It was at Flamway it happened. Basically, the traction motors needed replacing on the 26.
Right. Yeah, that's a big issue, yeah, that is,
so
as well.
In the end, it was decided, because the 26 is more of a useful engine that the members in general liked, it was decided that it was best to get rid of the 37, because they still fetch decent price, and use that money to get the 26 going again. Shame it's gone, but happily that the old 37 is now back on the main line, amazingly.
Yeah, oh, really? That's interesting.
It's gone back to its TOTS number of 37240, I think it is. And it's now basically going around the country picking up bits up here and there for, I can't remember what company it is, but you can now see that. You can now see that one fully restored running on the main line.
Isn't that weird?
So yeah, it's amazing. It just shows to show that those diesels are pretty still useful to this day, as it were.
Yes, they are, and I think they will be for a while.
Yeah,
to be fair.
I don't see anything coming in the pipeline that's going to be able to replace their route availability for the main thing, because they can go a lot of places where a lot of the modern ones can't.
Yeah, this is true. So I've got to ask the question then. Do you prefer your steam or your diesel? Or is that like asking which child
prefer? Yeah, that's it, yeah. The honest answer would be steam. I can't lie. Only because that's what got me interested in railways, trains, and I've been into that for as long as I can remember. From watching old VHSs of not Thomas the Tank Engine, funny enough,
how I started. Thomas the Tank.
But the first video that I can remember watching was in the days where you were able to use VHSs to record stuff off telly. Dad had recorded loads of railway documentaries off the telly. So the first thing I can remember watching would have been Model World presented by Bob Symes.
Oh, good old Bob Symes.
Which was the free model railway episodes, followed by two episodes of Seaside Trains, the episodes being Friendly Line to Burnham, which basically included the old Somerset Dorset line from Evercreech Junction to Burnham-on-Sea. And then it was Western Cleveland Portishead Light Railway. And then after that, which was then followed by Steam Over Sound Carlisle, which follows Sir Nigel Gresley doing the rail tour on that. So before I even discovered Thomas the Tank Engine, I knew of Bob Symes, Model Trains, Live Steam, the Somerset and Dorset.
That's great, that. Fair do.
Yeah, it's one of those weird ones where I actually watched proper railway stuff before Thomas the Tank Engine, as it were. So, you know.
That's great stuff, that is. That's absolutely brilliant. So what's your favourite steam loco then?
Honestly, it really depends on the day. What day is it? Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
What mood I'm in. I have soft spots for certain locos, including a couple of Talafin locos, which I know you're volunteering at. The obvious one would be, Tom Rolt, because I'm only couple of years older than that. A couple of months older than that one, because obviously that is the same year I was born. I sort of got attached to that one because of that. And to be fair, that is quite a beefy engine, to be fair, for
railway. It is. It is for the size of it.
I like that one. And the other one will be Sir Hayden. It's a funny one. It wasn't one of the ones I liked to start with. I always preferred Douglas up until a few years ago, and then all of a sudden Sir Hayden was more my cup of tea, as it were. No idea why.
It happens.
Other narrow gauge engines I like would probably be well, the George Englands on the Cineog. I like them as well. They are really nice pieces of kit. Standard gauge wise, I'm not really too fussed, to be honest, because I'm not one of these people who picks a region and basically says, oh, they're the best out there, nothing compares. I can't really think from every region, to be honest. I'm not really got an engine I dislike, to be honest.
That's always good.
The only regions I've ever done at Plan are Great Western, obviously, a couple of Standards, a couple of Midland, and one Southern. Unfortunately for the Southern, it was Sir Keith Park, which I'm sure many people will tell you it's not well. It's not that well. But what I've heard the story behind how that one came to be running again is you have to go, well, fair enough, it's quite a remarkable way it's running at all, considering that it was literally originally just a sort of spares for the others. So it's basically got all the cast offs on the rest of the Blights. The odd ones. So at least that's what I was told from a guy who helped do a bit of restoration on it. So to Keith Park, it's not the best. It was not the best Southern engine for me to make a proper judgment of how good Southern engines are, shall we say. Similar with, it's like what I said earlier, 45337. It's not fair for me to judge all Black Fives just off that one engine.
Yeah, that makes sense, because it's even with cars, isn't it? You know, even sometimes some cars are like, oh, this isn't running right.
But if I go with locos that are currently on the roster, or locos I've been on, I mean, highlights have been 46521, which was Blossom from ODOT to Beeching. I've been on that one three times. It's over the
that's cool.
Plan. Pioneer GTI, that's always a good laugh.
Oh, I love the Pioneers.
5199, don't mind it. I don't hate it, but it's not my favourite. 3802, I do have a soft spot for that. Mainly because it's the first engine I did my first official turn on.
So that has
a soft spot in that regard. And to be honest, it was probably the best engine for me to sort of get started with, as it were. Because it's an engine that, if your Ross is on it, you know it's going to be a long 4 hours getting it ready to start the shift. Because unlike some engines where I've got rocking grates and drop ashband hoppings and that kind of stuff, this engine has, 3802 has none of those luxuries. It's just, in that regard, pure basics. So cleaning that out is, you know you've done a hard day's work when you clean that one out. But you realise that you've done this one, there can't be many out there which are going to be any harder.
I'm with you.
Yeah, the ash pan on that one's not very nice, but you've done it so many times now, you're just used to it. You know what you're in for, as it were.
And plus,
over the past couple of months, past year, I've been helping the new owners sort of getting that engine to a point where it's a nice loco to be on. Because over the past its last overhaul, only the boiler got done. Very little got done on the chassis, and to be honest, it needed the work done to the chassis. So basically, new owners are now going through it slowly, doing what bits they can, so that it can run safely. It's not going to, take it out of service for a long period of time. So, unfortunately, not being able to do much in the way of maintenance on it this winter, although the owners have been able to work on parts away from the rally because they've got workshops back at their places, so they can do stuff at their place. You'll probably be needing to look at the valves in the near future. Hopefully we can get through this next season with it, because it's got, that 3802 will be the engine of will be the main engine for this next season.
Oh, that's interesting to know.
Obviously, we don't have the Manor now. That's at West Somerset. And we don't have 5299 because that's also going to West Somerset. Pioneer GTI is still in bits. I've not been told anything other. So that's going to take a while for that to come back into traffic. So at the minute, our only operational engines are 3802, Jennifer, and Austin 1. So Jennifer can do the five coaches that we usually run, but it's not an engine you want to be running every day on that kind of load at the speeds we want it to do. Because it'll get knackered really quickly. So 3802 is probably going to be doing the bulk of the work for this next season, unless we can pass something in. Hopefully we can. Whether we will is another matter.
That's it. Well, we'll see what happens, won't we?
But obviously, now the 26 is up and running again, so we can. That'll be used in quite a lot this season, I reckon. And obviously, we have 47, which is getting better. It's ran particularly well, but it's getting a lot better now. We've managed to fix the slight problem we had with a leak from the radiator. So we're not having to refill the radiator after one half trips. this is preservation, people. We also have class 31 from the A1A group, which is currently residing at Llangollen. So we've also got that as well. So there'll be a good selection of diesels that can cover the steam turns. Should it be needed, and also we're going to be looking at introducing more diesel turns this season as well. So,
good stuff. Good chance for me to get involved on that side as well. Getting involved. Yeah. So, right, moving on then. Have you got any amusing stories?
that you can
share on air without offending anybody.
One story I can tell is, well, puts me in a bad light, to be honest, but it will be my first ever time being rostered as a fireman. And it was basically a last-minute rostering job because it was the Patriot Day at the railway. It was obviously back when the Patriot was still at plan. And they had the members' day for the people who were putting money towards that project. And they had a rostered non-stop express doing free round trips. And the loco rostered was the black was 45337. So, first ever firing turn. First time it'll be my first time firing non-stopper all day. And time on the black five.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I was not prepared on that first trip.
No.
Especially when the driver was sort of, what's the best way to put it, quite enthusiastic to use the throttle. Yes. It was a black five, he wanted to hear it turn bark. Especially on the monster. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a black five.
So basically, what resulted was I didn't put enough coal in that plan. Going up the bank, so that ended up with me. Ended up was come out of the tunnel at come out of the tunnel, go up towards D side. Got both injectors going, to get water in the boiler, and the pressure is all down, all the way down, all the way down until the brakes came on. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I just have this image of the driver. He's just sort of looking at what's the best way. I know.
What are you doing, man?
Well, I'll tell you what I was thinking at the time in a minute, but I knew what he did a video on his thing to share to some of the guys. And I think the message he found was, I've got a green signal ahead of me, I've got a black five, I've got no pressure.
I'm just sat here
doing nothing. So yeah, that was slightly embarrassing in that regard. But that turned quickly, maybe realized that yes, it's all very well, thrashing these locos and that kind of thing, but I'd like to be told we're going to be doing that beforehand. So
yeah, that makes sense.
That we were going to be thrashing it like high hell at the bank. So my fire wasn't ready and that kind of thing. So in that situation, you might panic in that lot, but all I was thinking of at the time was, well, so is your right for not warning me, you idiot. That's what I was actually thinking of. All I did was, the minute I knew we were going to have problems with water, I just put the injectors on and just left them on. And if it turns out that we ran out of pressure, so what? I'd rather just have water in that boiler, to be honest. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Needless to say, by the second trip, I thought we came to a mutual understanding that he wanted to thrash.
Yes.
Fair play to
him. Yeah, that makes sense.
If you realise it's my first time doing non-stopper and on a black five, it was like, okay, yeah, you need to have that back end mice up to the door, which I did, and yeah, had no problems for the rest of the day then. I knew what I had to do. So yeah.
Happy days. Happy days.
Unfortunately, people still remind me of this.
Well, it's one of them. It's all a learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah. On your first firing turn and you do that, it's like, ugh. That's amazing. Yeah, because there have been a few people where you start going down the pan and they start panicking. You see it especially
yeah, in cruises.
It's quite interesting when you get up to the point where cleaners on how to fire, and you watch them go through the motions, and you're seeing the point where you know where they should have put coal on, but didn't. And then it starts, that cycle suddenly starts.
Yeah.
Pressure starts dropping. So they start panicking. They're starting to throw loads of coal on. Pressure's still dropping. They're going, why haven't you got to, why is the pressure going down? And then they, of course, water's dropping. So everything starts going against them.
And then everything starts, yeah. But
that's also a good point where you suddenly realize that you need to know what you're doing yourself. These guys, as far as
I'm concerned,
when it comes to firemen and fire in our railway, in my opinion, they shouldn't really go up at all until they are confident enough that they can get somebody else out of trouble. Yes, so that makes sense. I learned very quickly is that if I'm going to have cleaners on, I'm going to let them have a go. I need to know how to get them out of trouble quick. Which has paid me good dividends later on down the years. I mean, I've done a few turns now where, well, I've had enough confidence in the cleaner where I've let them do the firing all day, and I've just, sat back and made sure they don't do anything stupid. One of those occasions was when I think it was the Autumn Gala 2018 on the Sunday, and basically the fireman Russell on the standard tank had to come off because he was ill. I can't remember what the illness was, but they asked me to do it if I take over. I said, because we found out the day before, I said, yes, but I'm on the night shift tonight. And I won't be back on shed until about 9:30. So, luckily, the engine that we were, the standard tank that was rusted on, wasn't going off shed until about, wasn't going to go off shed until after 10 o'clock anyway. So I could get me 12 hours mandatory rest in between shifts in before going signing back on. So we made the agreements where, you know, the driver would keep an eye on the cleaner doing his bit. They get it all, they get it lights up together, clean it and do all prep together. And then I'd come on, I'd sign on at 10 o'clock ready in time for them to leave yards and head down the station. And basically, the cleaner was Grant Laven. And I basically let him do all the firing all day because, you know, he was up. He did all the prep. He did all that. So he gets that right, as it were. Well, yeah, there was one.
Fair play. So, top low Grant, so high Grant.
I mean, there was one trip where he didn't quite get it right and he was struggling when we got to Berwyn. But it was at that point where I'd done it enough where...
Yeah.
It's one of those priority moments where you can look at what they've done and immediately just fix it with two shovelfuls. It literally just took two shovelfuls
and pressure's
right back up. So that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, that went well. Yeah.
Great stuff. So moving away from the railway then. Your other hobby is obviously looking after railway. Well, one of your hobbies, yeah. Do you mind telling people about that?
Well, when I was little growing up, it'd always been 00 gauge or 009, depending on the time of day. It was only the past few years where, obviously, you know, the prices of the models have started going up astronomically. Yes. And I was into 09 at the time, and I think Backman had just announced the Corey Hunslets, which we're still waiting for, by the way. We still haven't got them.
Sounds about right.
When they come out, I'll probably have one. But then later on in the year, we ended up attending. Well, I went with a couple of mates, Tom and Rich, plus another lad. We went to the Hunslet 125 Guard Fessenjog, which was celebrating 125 years of Linda and Blanche. I think it was anyway, and they had obviously in Midford Yard where they had a lot of the things going on with shunting. Chance to drive locos and that lot. They had a couple of sales stands there, and one of the things I found was a kit for a Koi Hunslet in 16mm scale, and which was by PDF Models, who does a wide range of kits in 16mm scale narrow gauge, and all locos, diesel and steam. And I looked at it, I was like, oh, quite nice. How much is that? Looked at the price. Backman had just announced their price, or what their price, they're expecting their price to be for their, you know, 09 thing, which is probably only going to be about no more than 5 centimetres long. And this thing, the kit, was about £90. Yeah. And I was like, really taken aback by that. I was like, seriously, something that builds up to something quite decent size for £90, whereas 009, it's, you know, it's like getting on for nearly £120. To me, that was like a no-brainer. So I may not have a go on rally at the minute, but I always want one. I'll buy this kit and see what it's like, and bought it. Took a look at it, tried to put it together, and see how it went together, all that lot. And then obviously then work and stuff picked up, and I had basically that was put on the back burner. But then,
yeah,
I think I got towards the end, August 2019, where I've been talking to Jay Shaw, you've had on before, about things, and he was talking about his life in the Linton Barnstable locos, and we were talking about the gun rallies and the like.
Yes.
And he's basically the one that he's basically the guy who encouraged me to build something, build a railway for gun rally stuff to run on. So after a few conversations, I had a look around at all the different websites and stuff to see what I could get, and I was just amazed at the price of the kits for some, the rolling stock is actually a lot. I think it's a lot more value for money than a lot of double O gauge stuff, to be honest. That's just but I think it's a lot better value for money. And considering I'm somebody who likes to build things up and put things together and that sort of thing, so yeah, so I think it's beginning of November, I sort of went, yeah, I quite like to build a garden rally. Don't own a house on my own, so it was a case of having to ask the parents very, very, very nicely, I put a rally in the back garden. And, you know, and to be fair, without hesitation, my father said, yes, no problem. So it was like, sound. And then obviously...
happy days.
Not long after, I bought my first live steamer, which you were there at the time when I bought that. Wally Show. Yes.
And, yeah, it was Wally Show, wasn't it? 2019.
And I know some people give Mammoths
a bit of a
bad rep, as it were, but... to be honest, there's nothing wrong with them. They're quite nice things. Yeah, I've been recommended by Jay the Mammal Brunel, which is the vertical boiler loco they do. The coffee pot, yeah. And
the coffee pot.
However you want to say. And basically, they had one there, which was a return model. And it was returned because there was a scratch on the paperwork on the boiler. Only a little tiny thing. It's not even like 2 millimeters long. But apparently it was returned for that reason. Because it was pristine. I was like, really?
Wow.
So how much do you want for it? And basically when I invested less than the asking, about 50 quid off the minimum asking price, and they'd throw in all the accessories for it for nothing. Yes, Arbit. So, and that was the personalized steamer.
Snatch his hand off.
So, yeah. And then for Christmas, I got the first bit of coaching stuff.
Oh, fair play.
A collection of about 2, 3, 4. I'm in my room at the minute, so I've got the stock here. So it's about 6, 7 carriages and over 30 wagons, plus a few more PDF model kits, so which if you go on to my social media, plug time, if you go on to Instagram and find...
which I was going
to
say, what is your social media for...
Yes, right. YouTube-wise, Chester Joey is my channel there, and I've got something going rally on that. And on Instagram...
I'll leave links.
Yeah. Yeah, if you can link that.
Just to let everybody know, I'll leave all of the links in the description.
Brilliant. On Instagram, the gun railway is called the Hillfield Light Railway. And probably in the next couple of days or so, because it's been on my mind, I'll also make a Facebook page for the Hillfield Light Railway as well. So I'll be on both Instagram and Facebook, so you can follow me.
Oh, good stuff. There.
So, yeah, it's been really good. And basically, I've been... yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I've been...
I'll be sure to leave that.
On railway. It's now, what I'd say, it's a decent length run, probably about 30 yards from end to end. It's an end-to-end railway. We've got one end is a basically a couple of sidings, so I can store more than one train on. I can send one train up to one end of the gun and swing it back down. It's quite a hilly route because one end of the gun's higher than the other, and I wasn't allowed to build it at ground level. It had to be raised up. My dad wants to play a bit, and he's got some of the bad back. Yes. So yeah, it's quite a hilly route because it sort of keeps an average of about 1.5 to 2 times. So there's a height difference of about 3 foot from end to end on the gun. So it's quite hilly in some places, but it gives the live steams a good test. That's for certain. So the collection is, like I say, it's got three all stock. Loco wise, got the Quarry Hunslets. The two more PDF kits, Skylark in an apple green, and and one you'll like. I've got a model of Scar Lowy Yes, that's one of the more prouder models.
Yes. I've seen that and it looks ace.
Was expensive times. Yeah, I've also got a couple of little diesels, the Rustin and a Freelance one, and one other live steamer, Cowduck, which I had running a couple of days ago when we had some nice weather. So that's me prime joy at the minute. Future plans for the Garden Railway. I've got to, hopefully before I go back to work, I'll be able to get some size put at the other end with a run around, so I can actually start running some proper like running sessions with it. And then after that, back at the other end, I want to do a return loop. So I can send them off at the run round loop of the garden and just send them down round the return loop and back up, so if they get a continuous run. As for more rolling stock, well, I intend to increase my Talafin Scar Lowy theme stock. I've now got another PDF models kit on order, which is Sir Hayden, which I'm doing a Sir Handel. Need to get a couple more Talafin coaches to do them up in the
Revenge
colours. And then I'll have a complete rake of coaches there. And I also have Loco from Roundhouse on order, a live steamer. So when I go back to work, I'll have to get the overtime in. I've ordered them on their new George Englands. So hopefully. Not until October for that one.
Brilliant. I can't wait to see them all.
They don't start building it until October, so I've got plenty of time to put the money together, put it that way. And then after that, probably getting one more live steamer radio controlled after that, and then probably end up selling off the Mammal Brunel because it's not really the best loco for my route or my line. It's quite a hilly one. It's better if it's like a continuous flat run, if you know what I mean. It will pull stuff up the hill, but it's one of those ones you've just got to keep following it all the
time. Yeah, yeah.
And with an end-to-end one, end-to-end line, you don't really want to be running after it.
Yeah.
Not that it ever goes any quick because it's geared down. So, but what I'll end up doing is probably sell off the Brunel and use the money off that to pay to get the Caradoc converted to radio control. Confidence to do
great
it.
Great stuff.
So that's what will be the final goal for that. Yes, you'll have to come have a play at some point.
I'm looking forward to seeing the progress. I'd love to. Can't wait till we can go back to normal so I can do that.
Have a cover gala then. Cover gala in the back.
No, that'll be ace.
Yes, indeed.
That'll be ace. Yeah, Garden Gala.
Yeah. Hopefully, that's definitely on the agenda.
That sounds like an idea. Definitely.
Yeah, thank you, mate. It's been
well,
great.
Joey, it's been fantastic having you on.
Oh, yes, of course.
But before you go, there's the three quick fire questions. Yeah?
Yeah.
So these are the really important ones. So you ready?
Yes, going.
Question
from
one. What's your favourite beverage?
Oh, depends on what mood I'm in.
Non-alcoholic?
So tea, coffee, Diet Coke, Monster. Yeah, I mean, the main one I've tried recently, which I've ended up liking for some
Makes
reason,
sense.
Is peach
Makes
corn
sense.
Tea or iced tea. It is. I've never realised. The idea of drinking tea is...
Oh, it's nice, that stuff.
Never really appealed to me before. But then I started watching anime again after God knows how long, and it's popular. Tea's popular in anime. It's popular in Japan, I suppose. Yes, and so basically they caught my attention. I started drinking that. And
it certainly is.
I can see the Japanese point of view. It's quite nice. Yes.
So,
ooh,
question
good.
Two.
Very, very good question.
What's your favourite pie?
If I had to pick one on any day, there's a good delicatessen in Llangollen that does fantastic pies, and they always have all really, really strange combinations. So, honestly, don't mind as long as it's from that particular place.
Good answer. Good answer. And the last question.
Ooh.
What's your favourite TV show?
I see, I don't watch a lot of telly, to be honest. So, to be honest, the only time I use
it could be
TV
anything,
nowadays...
Anything,
is
whether it could be a film, could be any sort of...
Nothing wrong with that. So, basically, motorsport-wise, I'll watch anything from Formula One...
Nothing wrong with that.
...touring cars to Le Mans, racing, IndyCar, anything. I'll watch any motorsports. I'll watch, not NASCAR. That's boring.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Fair dues. Well, all I can say
yeah,
is
no,
thank you very much for coming on.
I think what
it's
you're
been
doing
an absolute
is really good.
Pleasure talking to you.
You certainly nobody else out there that's doing podcasts like this, getting people's points of views on heritage railways and that kind of thing. So, yeah. Hope long may this continue, mate.
Thank you very much. That really does mean a lot. So, everybody, stay safe, take care, and hopefully, I'll see you back at the railway very soon. So, take it easy.
Okay, so a big, massive thank you for Joey there for that interesting interview. My next guest, I am really looking forward to speaking to, is none other than Dan Fox from the Signals to Danger podcast. I am really looking forward to hearing what he has to say. So everybody, please stay safe and take care, and I'll see you next time.